to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right. Good to see you.
Well, I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come by and share a few thoughts with you about the challenges and opportunities facing our country and particularly the next generation of great Americans in this country. Before I do that, I want to share some thoughts with you about my friend Ed Failer. Where did Ed disappear to so quickly? Where is he? Where? Back in the back. Now, Ed, of course, is sponsoring, you know, his organization is substantially responsible for putting on this organization. They're underwriting it. This is an organization that's committed to limited government, making sure we have taxes that are competitive and reducing and encouraging people to invest and grow and provide jobs, which is going to be very important to the future generations. He's put his heart and soul into the conservative cause here in Iowa. Why don't we join me in a round of applause for Ed Failer and his terrific work. Now, it does come with some consequences. He's, like I said, he's worked hard, and it's stressful, a lot of hours, but it's worth it. It's meaningful work. But when I first met Ed just some years ago, he had Justin Bieber hair. I mean, well, look at him. That's part of the sacrifice that you got to make. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about some of the more recent events in the world. And, of course, we've got tragedy in Japan, and we've got huge issues unfolding in the Middle East. But there's one other thing that unfortunately has captured everybody's imagination, and that's Charlie Sheen. Now, we may not in this room have tiger blood like he does, but we do have something else in common with him. There's going to be a lot of winning on the Republican side in 2012. Now, of course, there was a lot made in 2008 about the younger vote, young adults, college-age students, younger voters, disproportionately supporting President Obama. How do you feel about that today? Not so good. I mean, it was a major bait-and-switch tactic. He duped the young people in this country. I do have to give him credit for one thing. Barack Obama has proven that someone can deserve a Nobel Prize less than Al Gore. And I think what the younger voters have figured out is this is really a broken relationship. He made soaring promises, set grand expectations. He's broken those promises. He's failed to fulfill the expectations. If this was a Lady Gaga song, the relationship between the youth vote and Barack Obama would be bad romance. You know what I'm talking about. Now, people will talk about a lot of different issues, but let's just net it out. You guys are in or about to be in the workforce. You're about to take the baton, as Ed Failer just talked about, standing on the shoulders of this generation. But here's what you face. $4 a gallon gas. Nearly 9% official unemployment, with the unofficial unemployment being substantially worse than that. We have a government spending pattern at all levels, particularly the federal level, that is just heaping debt and deficit and future obligations on your shoulders at a level that should alarm and frustrate and anger and motivate each and every one of you. And I ask you, have you had enough of President Obama? Well, you can do a lot to change this, as Ed mentioned. As college Republicans and the next generation of leaders in Iowa, you've already made a big difference. If you look at the strength of the change that's come to Iowa with the election of 2010, with a new governor, the great Governor Terry Branstad, and the whole Republican ticket in Iowa, including the great Secretary of Agriculture, Bill Northey, who's in the back room, the college Republicans in this room and across this state stood up and said, we'll help, we'll make a difference, we're going to get Iowa pointed in a better direction, and we're going to get America pointed in a better direction. Give yourself a round of applause for the great work that you did. But I want to talk just about one issue, because I think they gave me 15 minutes and I'm six into it. So I want to just talk to you about one issue that I think is going to primarily affect you in a profound way. When I travel this country, and I do every day now, and ask people, what matters to you? What are you concerned about? What are your dreams and your hopes hooked to and hinged upon. After they talk about their faith and their family, they most often describe a series of activities that bring them great joy. They might say, you know, Governor, I'm just worried about whether I can get out and enjoy the outdoors or maybe go duck hunting or watch the Hawkeyes or the Cyclones. And thanks for coming together, even though you got Hawkeyes and Cyclones in this room for a great cause and many others. But you know, we're worried about whether we can even afford getting our gas in our gas tank or affording our health care or getting our children through college or getting yourself through college or an issue like that. If you look at those dreams, those hopes, the other activities that they enjoy, almost every one of them requires that people have money. And guess how most Americans get money? They work. They gotta have a job. So the best thing, one of the best things that we can do for our fellow citizens in Iowa and Minnesota and all across this great country are do those things that are gonna make it more likely that jobs are gonna grow, not get cut or reduced. Do those things that are gonna make it more likely that you in this room and others all across this country say, I wanna start a business, grow a business, add employees, build buildings, do the things that keep a private economy, not a government economy going forward. And when we ask and answer that question, we shouldn't go out to Washington, D.C. and ask the politicians, most of whom have never worked in the private sector in their life, we should ask the people who actually have the dreams, start the businesses, and provide the jobs. And when we do, they say this, get the government off my back. This is the greatest country the world has ever known. And when we talk about the American dream and the American spirit, it's not some throwaway line, it's not some corny thing or some dusty old thing we dragged out of a bin in the back room. It's as alive today and as important today as it's ever been. We have a country that is the freest and most prosperous nation in the history of the world. And one of the things that make us great is not that we're just, you know, a prosperous country, we're a free country. And that allows people to dream. It allows people to invent. It allows people to innovate. It allows people to worship as they see fit. It allows people to associate. It allows people to take risks and to do things that are unlike many other countries and cultures across the globe and across time. And it's because we're free. It's because people can dream and they can have their own American dream. And every time the government comes into the picture and says, you know, we're going to take over something or a piece of something that was previously done by families or neighborhoods or communities or the private sector or charities or philanthropy or places of worship, they push in. They not only expand government, they not only increase spending, they not only ask for more money, they not only try to raise taxes, they do something else that's more corrosive. They destroy and implode the American spirit. They say to people, we're going to nudge you aside. We're going to say to you, we'll take that over now. They say to you, you know, if you choose to stay in that area, we're going to make it more difficult for you. We're going to tax you. We're going to regulate it. We're going to limit your choices. We're going to make it more difficult. We're going to slow it down. We're going to put bureaucracy on top of it and around it. We're going to stifle it. We're going to suffocate it. And little by little, they not only tax and spend us into oblivion, but they begin to corrode and crush the American spirit. Spirit that says we are a proud people. We're for individual responsibility and industriousness. There's no challenge that we can't overcome. Now, I saw this in my own life, as Ed mentioned. I grew up in a meatpacking town, South St. Paul, Minnesota. It's an old suburb right outside of St. Paul. And back in the 1960s, before you were born, it was the home of some of the world's largest meatpacking plants and stockyards. And so you can imagine what the sights and sounds and smells of that might look like. And I love my hometown. I love my upbringing. My dad, for much of his life, was a truck driver. At the end of his life, or towards the end of his life, he got promoted to be a dispatcher. And when he got promoted from truck driver to dispatcher, we thought we had won the lottery, you know, because it was a big promotion as far as our family was concerned. My mom died when I was young. She had a cancer. My brothers and sisters weren't able to go to college, not because they didn't have the capacity, they just didn't have the opportunity. So I was the first one in my family who was able to go to college and complete college. And not long after my mom died, my dad lost his job for a while. So when you hear people talk about what's going on in the economy today, I've had a chance to see this pretty up close in my hometown and in my family and neighborhood. And so when people say, oh, you know, you Republicans, you don't know what it's like to have a challenge. Yeah, we do. And if you look around the room and went through the American stories in this room, many would be same or similar. But you know what happens? People, if you let them, rise to the occasion. Family and friends and neighbors come around and love and support and encouragement and say, we're going to help you. My mom, not long before she died, just a day or a few days before she died, she pulled my brothers and sisters into the hospital room and she said, I want you to make a commitment to me. I want you to make sure that you get Tim into college and through college. Do whatever you can because it's really important to me. And I knew in those days, in those hours, one of the pathways to opportunity for me was education. We got a country now that a third of our kids are dropping out of high school, and it particularly relates to children from disadvantaged backgrounds. But we can't have that as a country. We can't have a third of our fellow citizens essentially uneducated or undereducated or unskilled or underskilled, not able to access the economy of today and tomorrow, becoming marginalized in our society, and then asking for more government stuff because they can't afford it themselves. And the main reason they can't afford it themselves is because they don't have the education or the skill to access the economy. And then, of course, it becomes a vicious cycle. So this issue of preparing for the job market, having the job market be ready for you, having the opportunity to be in front of you, it's not just about how much are we spending and dollars and calculations. That's really important. But it's really about the role of government in people's life. It's really about how much freedom that we're going to lay claim to and stake for ourselves. It's really about how strong and courageous we're going to be to stand up to the government and say, get your house in order. Don't try to micromanage our affairs when you can't even macromanage your own. And it's about our freedom. And it's about this country getting back to the things that made it great. Turning towards God, not away from God. Making sure that we live within our means and don't spend more than we take in. Putting individuals in charge, and if they need help, give it to them directly. Don't put the government in charge and run it through them. Making sure that our enemies here and around the world understand that when you deal with the United States of America, you're going to deal with strength, not with weakness. Because if you haven't learned this yet, you'll learn it pretty soon. Whether in a bar room or on a sports field or in business or in some other walk of life. When you're dealing with bullies and thugs, they always understand this. They understand strength, they don't understand weakness. And we got a president now who has projected uncertainty, delay, equivocation, and in my view, very misguided and confused and incoherent national defense and foreign policy on behalf of this great country. So I'm gonna just close and tell you, I'm gonna spend my next year and a half trying to replace Barack Obama. If you're interested in our effort, we'd love to have you on board. TimPawlenty.com is the website. By the way, we got some great Jon Stewart and Colbert video clips on there that you might enjoy, so I hope you'll go check that out. But also, we got a new text number. It's 45995. So if you want to just text us, and we'll be in touch with you about the campaign and how you can help. But I invite each and every one of you individually to check out our cause. We'd like to earn your support. How we do here in Iowa is going to have a lot to say about our chances going forward beyond Iowa and beyond. But I know I can win this race. I know I can unite the conservative coalition in Iowa and across the country, and then also go out and be the kind of candidate that can win in those swing states like Wisconsin and Minnesota and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Colorado and Florida and so many others. But I can't do it alone. I need your help. And one last thing. It's a grand calling. You got to get your career and your education in order, and I encourage you to do that first. But I also encourage you to take the blessings and the gifts and the talents that you've been given, and everyone in this room has been given them. There's a great book that you should read if you get a chance. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. It's a faith-based book, but even if you're not oriented in that direction, the message of the book is this. You've all been given some stuff. It's different for different people. Some people have the gift of making money. Some people have the gift of people skills and communication and hospitality. Other people have the gift of creativeness or artistry. Other people have the gift of technical skills and making things. Other people have the gift of leadership or administration, and on down the list. Each one of you has some enormously powerful and important and compelling gifts. And the question is going to arise for you, are you willing to take a chunk of that and dedicate it to a cause or a purpose that's bigger and more important than just your individual circumstance. You've already answered the question yes by being involved in College Republicans. My first involvement in politics was handing out brochures for Ronald Reagan in 1980 when I was a freshman at the University of Minnesota, standing on the west bank of that campus in the hotbed of liberalism, and people were yelling at me and one guy spit at me. But I'm so proud that I did that because we had a leader who came forward and said, we're going to get this country back on track. Yes, we got challenges, but we are a hopeful and optimistic and strong and decent country, not because of the government, but because of our people. And if we can harness and elevate and excite and mobilize the talent and the excitement and the energy and the passion in this room and dedicate it to a cause, and public service is a noble cause, then we can get this country back on track. But we need each and every one of you, so please stay involved. Thank you for being patriotic. Thank you for being willingness to be here on a Friday night with the sun out to say it matters. Thanks for putting up with Dane. Dane rocks, you know that. You know that. We love Dane. We're trying to get him on board as well. But just know that we'd love to talk to you and spend more time with you. I'm going to leave it at that. But have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you in the coming weeks and months. Please join our effort. You won't be disappointed. We're going to get this country back on the right track, and we're going to get somebody in the White House, and we're going to retake the Congress and make sure that we make this country the greatest country the world has ever known, not just now, but forever going forward. Thank you very much. Thank you.